This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Charles Frazier's Civil War novel, Cold Mountain, became a modern classic. It was then made into a film, and now Cold Mountain the Opera takes the stage at UNC Chapel Hill's Memorial Hall. It's a production of the North Carolina Opera. The story follows Confederate deserter W.P. Inman and his love, Ada Monroe. It's a romance steeped in the true stories of Appalachian fighters who were drawn into the war and left with physical and emotional scars. It's also a tribute to the grit of women who were forced to become fighters in their own right in a world bereft of men. The opera is crafted by Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Jennifer Higdon, and she joins me now. Welcome. Great to have you here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us is soprano Melinda Whittington, who plays the role of Ada Monroe. Melinda, hello. Good to have you.
Hi, good morning.
It's good to have you. And baritone Edward Parks, who plays the role of W.P. Inman. Hello, Ed.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well. And Jennifer, I want to start with you and talk about, you've done a lot of compositions. This opera comes to you. What was your idea when you were asked to do, what went through your head when you were asked to do this?
Well, it's my first opera. So the first thought was fear, and then an immediate thought, I need to start studying opera. But I also wanted to find a story that resonated, because I always hear writers saying, write what you know. And having grown up in East Tennessee, not that far from Coal Mountain, in fact, right over the Smokies, when I came upon this story and I thought about it, I thought this would be a perfect opera. There's love, great drama, death, everything that you want in opera.
So you chose this as the subject for your first opera, right?
Right.
So it's got this, that's interesting. It's got the story. Now how do you go about it, and what was it that you learned about? I mean, obviously you're a trained composer, you know a lot about music. What was it that you learned when you focused on opera that focused you on how to compose this particular piece?
Well, the big thing is thinking about the voices and also thinking about Charles Frazier's characters. We knew we wanted to follow Inman, one of the main characters, Ada, his love, and Ruby, who basically bails out Ada. The three of them have such an interesting development as human beings. They kind of change as the opera goes along. So as a composer, I'm thinking about my responsibility to build a sound world around each one of these characters, carry them through their drama, respect basically the beautiful story that Charles Frazier has created, and to carry our audience along from the very first note all the way to the double bar at the end. I mean, it's a love story set in the Civil War. That's how I think about it. And we all know what love is, and love and loss and separation and the things that we value in life. But you'd go through these three characters and follow them on that journey.
We all know what love is, but we also all know what Cold Mountain is, and we all know what opera is. Now, what do you do when you have accents that don't strike the ear as Italian or German? You know, that sort of thing. How do you work against or with a culture like that and have to say, yeah, but that's not the soundscape of this opera?
You know, I decided to use some bluegrass.
Well done.
Yeah, I figured, you know what, I wanted a sound world that would reflect this area. And this is the beauty of the opera going up here, because it's like the opera's coming home. But I was very careful. My librettist, Gene Shear, is not from the South, so he gave me the libretto and I kind of southernized it. and work with the singers are really good about accents. They're very good about this sort of thing. So it's the kind of thing you write the music, but then you hand it off to the people who are going to perform it, and you do it with a lot of trust. But one of the things I did do in the orchestra is to make sure we had some bluegrass or some actual down-home fiddling there, and make sure there were some fun melodies to listen to, things for the singers to kind of hang on to, but basically they're telling the story. I mean, I've done my job with the writing of the notes, but it's in their hands now.
Well, yeah, and again, to recalibrate your ears and make sure that had you been trained in opera, you know, which is a wonderful tradition, we have to understand this, the nature and the location of this. So Melinda, let me ask you about this. Melinda Whittington, who plays Ada, how do you approach this? You've been trained, obviously, you know a little bit about opera, you know what you're doing. Is this a different role when you have to sort of take on these accents and this soundscape for you? What's the challenge in this role?
Absolutely. Well, as opera singers, we're trained in really hearing and studying the slight differences in pronunciations of sounds. So we learn, you know, the International Phonetic Alphabet, and really it's dangerous because you go to a foreign country and you say your one sentence that you know how to say, and people think, oh, she's fluent, and they start talking to you at the speed of light, you know. So we're really adept at kind of picking up on really specific colors and differences in sound and inflection. And Jennifer's set the text so beautifully to capture that inflection. Some of the hallmarks of the Charleston accent, of course, that Ada has, which is a little different than everyone else in the opera, is the dropped R's and the dropped diphthongs. So instead of say, closing to that E sound at the end, they sort of stay open. So one of my favorite lines is, "I believe I need a man hand for the job."
Well, this is kind of a geeky question, but I want to ask you this, Jennifer. Does that change? Like, okay, you've written the score, and now you've got the librettist, who's and you've worked to kind of southernize it, but there's no southern accent. There's a Charleston accent now. Does that change things for you? You go, oh, no, this note gets lost in that because I needed the R to take me to the next
level. Believe
syllable.
It or not, I didn't think about that because the whole point of what I do is to make the best music that I can, and I trust the singers to actually bring out the true essence of that individual.
Edward, talk about that and talk about your role a little bit, the role of W.P. Inman and how you approach this role.
Well, you know, Inman is a very special character, and he's kind of like every man who comes back from war in a way that he's seen and done a lot of things that has kind of broken him and hollowed him out. But Inman specifically as a character is, I think, a very sensitive person. And I think, you know, deserting as bad as it was, I think was a necessity for him. And I think Ada is just like this little glimpse of hope that he is holding on to.
In some ways, Jennifer, this is a story made for opera in the complexity and the nuance and the timbre that you take on if you talk about someone committed to an idea, perhaps now a deserter, also in love, wounded in the many ways that wars can wound. Music may be the only way to tell this story. But remind us of the story a little bit and how faithful you were to the original in the process, remind us what the story is.
Right. This is a big novel. So if I had set the entire thing, this would be three nights. It'd be like the Ring cycle. So we decided to follow these three characters. And essentially, W.P. Inman has been injured in Richmond. He's in a hospital, and he's decided he's had enough after 4 years of fighting. This isn't his war. He's going to walk home. He's going to go back to Ada Monroe. He doesn't know if she'll even recognize him anymore. And so he encounters all of these individuals. It's everything from a slave who is escaping to people who want to kill him, vigilantes or home guard. And so it's his journey back and his questioning. There are opportunities for him to save others. There are opportunities where he has to decide whether he's going to shoot someone because he's in danger. And on the other side of the story, you have Ada trying to survive. She's brought to the mountains by her father, a preacher. He's passed away. The farmhands have left. She doesn't know how to survive. She was raised on French and poetry and painting and reading. And so here she is trying to figure out how is she going to eat. Along comes Ruby. And Ruby is a real survivor. She basically had to raise herself. She knows the mountains. She knows the seasons. She knows the crops. And she makes a partnership with Ada. She says, let's work together. Let's make this farm work. We'll survive. We'll get through the war. So it's basically the journey each one of these people takes. It's Inman trying to get back to these two women and them trying to recognize Inman when he comes back.
And in this relationship that you just described between Ada and Ruby, they find out that they may have had more in common all along than they thought, that the veneer of this, you know, sort of pedestal on which Southern white women were held may have been only that, only a mirage.
It's true. It turns out that Ada actually is a steel magnolia in reality.
I want to play a clip, and just to give us a sense so that we can have the full orchestration to hear what the opera sounds like, we've got a clip from the Santa Fe Opera's performance, and maybe you can set, because we have, this is Inman's aria that we're going to play, maybe you can set this up for us and then we'll listen.
Yes, Inman is basically saying, the war has damaged me. I've seen a lot of battle and a lot of death.
Trenches in Petersburg, a morning like this. I dipped across the plain in a cup of broth, turned my face to feel the sun. Suddenly, 25 feet. Oh!
That was the Santa Fe Opera performing Inman's aria from the opera Cold Mountain, composed by Jennifer Higdon. Jennifer is with me in the studio today, along with soprano Melinda Whittington, who plays the role of Ada Monroe, and baritone Edward Parks, who will play the role of W.P. Inman in North Carolina Opera's production of North Carolina, which is on stage at UNC Chapel Hill's Memorial Hall Thursday, September 28th and Sunday, October 1st. Melinda, let me ask you a little bit more about your role in this relationship that we talked about earlier between Ada and Ruby. This is an interesting, again, a sort of a textured relationship that you have to embody on stage.
Yeah, in some ways, it's kind of the great, you know, love story of the opera. There's two going on, and we see actually the audience sees more of the relationship between Ruby and Ada, because we keep flashing back to the very brief encounters that Ada and Inman really shared before he went to war. So the friendship that develops between Ruby and Ada is really beautiful. And so at the beginning, Ada's a little bit hesitant to be herself. And of course, Ruby's used to taking care of herself. So there's a little bit of distance between the two women. And over the course of the opera, you see that distance close. And then in the end, they've really created a family with Ada, Ruby, the children. It's own created family.
Well, I want to play another clip from the opera, and this one is entitled Orion. And Edward, this is a duet. Maybe you can tell us what's going to happen in this clip.
Well, it's Ada and Inman singing the same duet, obviously, and they're in separate places singing to the same stars that they talked about before Inman left, saying he would be home before Orion would return. And it's been now 4 Novembers have come and gone, so they're both singing to the same stars.
Let's listen. That is the Santa Fe Opera performing Orion from the opera Cold Mountain, composed by Jennifer Higdon. Jennifer Higdon is with me in the studio today, along with soprano Melinda Whittington, who plays the role of Ada Monroe, and baritone Edward Parks, who will play the role of W.P. Inman. The North Carolina Opera is staging Cold Mountain at UNC Chapel Hill's Memorial Hall on Thursday, September 28th and Sunday, October 1st. And, of course, that information's at our website. Jennifer, talk more about this story, because I understand you had a chance to talk with Charles Fraser about this. So tell us about that conversation.
It was exciting but also scary, because I realized I was responsible for his characters. And I remember promising him that I would take good care of Inman, Ada, and Ruby. But he was fantastic to work with, because he said, you know, I don't really know that much about opera, but I trust you to do whatever you need to do, because the genre probably has very different needs than a novel would. And that act of trust was so inspiring. It really was.
Was he able to give you any insights into the text, or, you know, sort of turn your attention in ways that you hadn't expected?
You know, he didn't really offer, but I think it's because he knew I grew up in the area. And I think he kind of trusted me in that respect. And it was interesting as a composer, really trying to get to know these characters. I read the novel through four times in a row. Just as soon as I finished, I started over. And it was surprising how much of a sense of those people it gave me. And then as I was writing the music, I honestly felt like those characters were kind of telling me what needed to be there on the page.
Well, certainly that's what a novelist would tell you is happening with them. Are they in your, so they are in your ear when you're composing, is those notes at the page?
Yes. In fact, I think for the entire 28 months it took me to write, the music never left. It was there in my dreams. It was there at all times of the day. But it was kind of heavenly company to keep with these individuals.
It's a fascinating story in so many ways because it does talk about the way in which war is disorienting, and it can either bring you to yourself or tear you apart. And that's the, seems to me, the other. I mean, if you talk about love stories, it's about the ability to fall in love with yourself before, after all of the social constructs are blown apart by war.
Right, I know. Yeah. And I think that's an important story for Inman. I mean, I really thought of Inman as representing every soldier in reality.
Yeah. What about, Melinda, you talked a little bit about sort of having to come at this as a performer, changing your accent. Were there other challenges in performing a contemporary role, a role that talks about contemporary American, in fact, Appalachia, set obviously not contemporary, it's the Civil War. But what were some of the other challenges for you in preparing for this role?
I actually had a really great time preparing this role, and I kind of just treated it like every other role. Mm-hmm. So what we do is where we start is we go to the source material, right, yeah, as performers. So sometimes there's none, sometimes there's a ton. And with this, I read the book and I watched the movie, and the process usually is to kind of, I usually start with one piece of the opera that I kind of, I really connect to, and I feel as sort of the gem of the character. And for me, that was Ada's second act aria. So it sort of captured Jennifer's style to me in a way that was very accessible. So a lot of the ensemble scenes get really complicated rhythmically. And so I started with that aria just to kind of get to know the style. You know, we grow up studying Mozart style and Puccini style. And so now I had to learn Higdon style, right? So I did a lot of time sitting at the piano and kind of clunking out and analyzing the chords and just really, really trying to understand where I fit into that harmonic language.
How about for you, Ed? Is this notion of sort of contemporary sounds, American sounds for a trained opera singer, was that a challenge for you, or how did you approach that change, that difference?
Well, for me, it's a different learning style in entirely. I mean, I spend a lot more time rhythmically and more time with the music than I do necessarily with more traditional music because it sits in my ear quicker. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I agree with Melinda that, you know, it's you kind of have to go through it all just to kind of get the style. And, yeah, and once you have your ear around the style, it makes it a lot easier to grasp.
And I think knowing each other's parts is even more important, mm-hmm, in this kind of music than traditional music, because you really rhythmically, if you don't know everybody's part around you, you don't really know your own. If
that's
that makes
interesting.
Sense.
Yeah. Well, so for instance, Mozart and other sort of classical pieces, older pieces, that's not so much. You can focus a little bit more on what you're doing, and there's less.
Well, your ear expects what comes, I guess, in mm-hmm a way that, and whether that's just because we've listened to it for hundreds of years, yeah, or you know, who knows. But we've got new things happening in the world, and we're excited to be a part of those things.
Because people like Jennifer Higdon are writing them. This is your first opera. I left you about 30 seconds for this, but what's next for you? You going to do another one?
You know, I have three concertos premiering this year, major ones, and a chamber opera is coming. I will be starting it in about 9 months.
Well, come back when you do that one, will you?
Sounds good.
Jennifer Higdon is a Pulitzer Prize-winning composer behind the opera Cold Mountain, Melinda Whittington, soprano, who plays the role of Ada Monroe. At North Carolina Opera's production of Cold Mountain, baritone Edward Parks plays the role of W.P. Inman. Thank all of you for being on the program. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you
so much.
North Carolina Opera's production of Cold Mountain is on stage at UNC Chapel Hill's Memorial Hall Thursday, September 28th and Sunday, October 1st. We have the information at our website, stateofthings.org. The Senegalese fusion music of Jelly Sisoho and Kairo Ba live next. Stay tuned.